WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports, and now.
Talking the news with Noam.
On 77 WABC.
Yep, that's me, 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Monday, March 25th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Sunshine today, high 51. Tonight and overnight, a few passing clouds, low 37. And then Tuesday, cloudy, high 51. If you are walking out the door with us right now, it is 32 and clear in Eastchester, up in Westchester County, which has always confused me. It's 31 and clear in Lambertville down in New Jersey. And it is 34 and clear outside our Midtown studios. We got a whole lot to get to as we work our way up. 6 o'clock hour, Sid and friends in the morning. Saturday, a washout. Yesterday was cold, but beautiful, right? Sunshine. A lot of people spending yesterday cleaning up from the mess on Saturday. In Central Park, we got 3.5 inches of rain, just over a 12-hour period, which is an enormous amount of rain. Some of those North Jersey towns where flooding's always an issue, it's going to be an issue again. It has been over the weekend. Watched on the Upper East Side, you had all these moments where we've gotten so much rain in March. In fact, actually, this is the third wettest March in New York history since they've been keeping track of that. And, well, we still got a couple of days left in March. And so what's happening is, you know, the soil's just wet, the roots of trees, sort of letting go. And you had this moment on the Upper East Side where this huge tree fell over. This was East 93rd Street on top of a car. A lot of people heard the crash.
Absolutely astonishing. I can't believe it. It seems like the roots had to have been rotted or something.
I hope nobody got, but it seems so. It's scary. It is, yeah.
Yeah, so the good news there is it's just the car that's hurt. Nobody else, no humans were. Lots of homeowners spending yesterday cleaning up this mess. Paterson, New Jersey, which has been hit, is that the fourth time? Let's see, I think it's four times they've had flooding since December. Is that right? Maybe it's three? Whatever it is, it's way too much. Paterson Mayor Andre Saya says he can't believe his city is in cleanup mode again.
We have never really seen a year like this. I mean, we're only in March, and we've had several storms, and we've had serious situations with flooding in Paterson.
Yeah, even he's confused about how many times. He said several. Is that two or three or four? Not sure. In Lodi, New Jersey, major source of frustration again, flooding from the Saddle River. Roads were swallowed up by the water yesterday. There was lots of damage in basements, homes.
We lost two cars. Every time that it rained, we had to be, you know, on the watch. Look at the window, so we have to move the cars.
We moved the car to the street because we don't want the car damaged, and the city give you a ticket.
In fact, in Lodi, some of the issue is just bad drainage. The mayor there, Scott Luna, says he's waiting on about $800,000 in funds from Congress to be able to update the storm drainage and infrastructure in Lodi, which would help out a little bit. But boy, it's bad for some homeowners there. And then you get these dopes. And that's what you got to call them. Just total dopes. Firefighters from the Yonkers Fire Department tell me about how they had to pull off this life-saving rescue of a man who became trapped in his car at the height of Saturday's rainstorm when it was really bad. So this guy, why do I call him a dope? Well, he drove around the road closure signs on the Bronx River Parkway. And there's a reason, by the way, it's called the Bronx River Parkway because it does turn into a river every time it seems it floods. And with 3.5 inches of rain in 12 hours, it turned into a river quite quickly. So now these firefighters are having to save this guy who just decided that he was better than the don't enter signs. So they had to get out a inflatable boat. They had to put on their wet gear to go save this guy as the water got up past the doors of his car.
We proceeded into the water. We had two members that were in their wetsuits tied to a rope in case any, you know, unexpected event happened. They entered the water. They walked in, made their way over to the victim. Safely got him onto the boat and then proceeded onto the other side of the parkway.
Yeah, it's got to be one of those hard times to be a firefighter because you're always in rescue mode and want to save people. And those are some of the greatest people we have around. But you're saving somebody who is causing you problems because they just decided that they were better than a sign that said, do not enter. But, you know, these guys do what they have to do. This driver in his 20s.
We train every day. We have a training schedule. When we come to work, we kind of expect that there's going to be some time where we pull some of our tools out and we learn how they work.
Yeah, total heroes for saving this guy who decided that he did not want to pay attention to the signs. So, again, days of cleanup, more money needed for some of these North Jersey towns, especially that have just been soaked by these flooding. And now we have some rivers that are going to crest. Of course, we'll follow that right here out of the newsroom. One of the big stories out of yesterday is Governor Phil Murphy's wife, Tammy Murphy, deciding that she's dropping out of the race for Senator. Senator Bob Menendez, you know, has all kinds of problems. He has a bribery trial that he's facing. He says if he does run again, which is not clear he will, it'll be as an independent. So Tammy Murphy had jumped into the race for Senate. Andy Kim, the congressman from South Jersey, he was the other one who announced his campaign. Well, she never really sort of hit it off with the voters. Maybe some people were upset that the Murphy family would have too much power, right? Governor Murphy, still the governor. And if she won in November, you know, you have a power couple. So here she was yesterday saying that she's dropping out of the race.
I wanted to say to those around me.
Well, I should tell you, this is like, you know, one of those slickly produced videos that you put up on Twitter.
I wanted to say to those around me, most especially Phil and my four kids, Josh, Emma, Charlie, and Sam, that it's such a pivotal moment in our history. Their mom stood up and did something. Because our children are watching.
Yeah, so she, of course, had all the connections in the world, but it seems that New Jersey voters who are sort of fiercely independent did not appreciate so much power concentrated in a husband-wife team.
After many busy, invigorating, and yes, challenging months, I am suspending my Senate campaign today. I've been genuine and factual throughout, but it is clear to me that continuing in this race will involve waging a very divisive and negative campaign, which I am not willing to do.
So it seems that Tammy Murphy's exit leaves the spotlight on Andy Kim, the congressman out of South Jersey. He spoke out yesterday.
The grassroots energy, you know, that is the game changer. You know, I'm grateful for this opportunity right now to continue on.
Yeah, so it looks like he'll be the Democrat. We're waiting to see who will be the Republican in the race for Senate. Now, a Republican hasn't won in New Jersey since 1972 for Senate, which is sort of unbelievable. Voters, by the way, saying that they're happy Tammy Murphy's out.
The absurdity of it all. No experience. You know, what was she going to do for the people, really?
It's probably for the best at this point, knowing that her husband also had power. People probably think it's too much.
Yeah, well, it seemed like it was. WABC News Time 509. Everybody seems to have their theory on Los Angeles Dodgers star Shohei Ohtani. He will address the media today for the first time since allegations of illegal gambling and theft involving his former interpreter surfaced. Does anybody believe that his former interpreter had all this kind of money? But Major League Baseball says it started a formal investigation into the gambling accusations. The interpreter is accused of receiving more than $4.5 million from the Dodgers superstar to pay off gambling debts made with an illegal bookie. Now, of course, the question is, how does an interpreter have that kind of money to spend on a bookie? Or was it Shohei Ohtani who was making illegal bets through his interpreter? The MLB, of course, investigating. This would just be just a crazy story. It already is kind of a crazy story. The Dodgers have fired that interpreter after the Los Angeles Times first reported on the case. Apparently, lots of his background, he's kind of turning into a George Santos a little bit, and that some of his background is not true. He says he went to one college. He did not go there. Anyway, this press conference, no doubt, with a new interpreter, will be fascinating. We will all be watching a little bit later today. On Friday, no doubt you saw that Kate, the Princess of Wales, announced that she had been diagnosed with cancer. And it's been interesting to see all the people with their conspiracy theories who had been surfacing, putting them out there. Famous people, by the way, reporters, none of it true. They were all backtracking over the weekend. In fact, a lot of people apologizing to the Princess of Wales after she announced that she was diagnosed with cancer and is undergoing chemotherapy.
In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London. And at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present.
So she says she's in the early stages of treatment. Last month, of course, it was announced that King Charles III, her father-in-law, diagnosed with cancer that was found after being treated for an enlarged prostate.
Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance too, as is the love, support and kindness that has been shown by so many of you. It means so much to us both. This, of course, came as a huge shock. And William and I have been doing everything we can to process and manage this privately for the sake of our young family. My medical team therefore advised that I should undergo a course of preventative chemotherapy, and I'm now in the early stages of that treatment.
Yeah, this is sad to hear. Let's hope she's okay. She's a young mom, only 42 years old. So all these apologies coming out over the weekend, actor Blake Lively, one of them, among the first to make a statement apologizing for her now deleted Instagram post, this Photoshop joke inspired by a manipulated Mother's Day photo released, that was released by Kensington Palace. She now says that was mean and spirited. A whole bunch of other actors too apologizing as well. Anyway, we wish the best for Princess Kate. The other big story over the weekend overseas was this Moscow concert hall attack. Over 130 people killed. It's mostly young people showing up for a rock concert. Now, Moscow says there are four suspects in custody. The four people claim to have connections to ISIS. They're charged with committing a terror attack, according to these court records that were released this morning, under which Russian criminal code is punishable by up to life in prison. Three of the defendants have pled guilty to all the charges. This is according to the state media news agency in Russia, TASS. They're from a former Soviet republic that had been in Russia on temporary or expired visas. If you weren't following this story, this was a Friday night at a concert hall. These four men walked in, started just firing at people who are enjoying a concert. At least 137 are dead. A lot of people are injured. Scott Carr has more from Washington.
Officials in Poland are demanding an explanation from Moscow after they said a Russian cruise missile aimed at Ukraine entered its territory. The Polish Armed Forces Operational Command claims Russia violated the country's airspace with the missile that flew near a border town for under a minute. In response, Operational Command says on X that both Polish and Allied aircraft had been activated. This after Ukrainian officials said Russia had launched about 20 missiles and at least 7 attack drones targeting the western Ukrainian region of Lviv, near the Polish border. I'm Scott Carr in Washington.
Now, why that's all important is it's all, of course, about the war in Ukraine. Russia says it was Ukraine is behind these attacks, this ISIS attack. Senator Tim Kaine says the U.S. warned Russia of an imminent terrorist attack about 2 weeks ago, but was just totally ignored.
Vladimir Putin gave a speech on Tuesday discounting the warning, saying we were trying to meddle and create confusion. We also warned Iran a couple months ago about a potential attack by ISIS-K there.
Yes, so he says it's surprising that Russia would not listen when they told them that they had intelligence that something was imminent. They didn't know what, but some sort of terror attack was going to take place on Russian soil.
If you want to know the difference between democracies and authoritarians, we will tell nations if we're worried about their civilians. Russia or Iran would never tell us if they had news that there was going to be a terrorist attack in the United States.
Well, he's definitely right about that. And of course, there's growing concern on Capitol Hill over potential attacks here. We're going to get into that in just a moment. But first, 5:15, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Happy Monday. Good morning, Justin Ellick.
Happy Monday. Good morning to you, Noah Maladen. Begin with a checkup on the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Round two teams vying for a spot in the Sweet 16. And the action, once again, did not disappoint. After UNC, Arizona, Iowa State, Tennessee, Illinois, Creighton, Gonzaga, and NC State in advance through the second round on a Saturday. Yesterday's action saw 4-seed Duke beat 12-seed JMU 93-55. 1-seed Purdue dominate 8-seed Utah State 106-67. 2-seed Marquette best 10-seed Colorado 81-77. 1-seed UConn moved past 9-seed Northwestern. 1-seed Houston survived 9-seed Texas A&M in overtime by a score of 195. 6-seed Clemson upset 3-seed Baylor 72-64. 4-seed Alabama advanced past 12-seed Grand Canyon, and 5-seed San Diego State eliminated 13th seed Yale, 85-57. After a few off days here for the remaining teams in the dance, Sweet 16 action will hit the ground running coming up this Thursday night. It was a quiet night locally on the NBA hardwood last night. We're looking forward to the Knicks and Nets returning to action tonight, both tipping off at 7:30 p.m. The Knicks will welcome in the Detroit Pistons while the Nets are on the road in Toronto against the Raptors. In the NHL, Jack Hughes and Timo Meier each had a goal and an assist. Kaapo Kähkönen made 37 saves in his first shutout of the season, and the Devils beat the Islanders 4-0 last night in Elmont. Alexander Holtz and Chris Tierney also scored for New Jersey. Kähkönen, acquired at the trade deadline, earned his first win as a member of the Devils. New Jersey captain Nico Hischier left the game late in the second period after colliding with New York's Anders Lee. Lee received a major penalty and a game misconduct. Hischier did return at the start of the third period. Ilya Sorokin finished with 26 saves for the Isles, who lost for the seventh time in eight games. New York is 4 points behind Washington in the race for the second wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference, with 11 games left in the regular season. Off the field in Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani plans to speak to the media today for the first time since the illegal gambling and theft allegations involving the Los Angeles Dodgers stars' former interpreter emerged during the team's trip to South Korea. The interpreter, Ippei Mizuhata, was fired by the Dodgers last
week. What's he going to say today? I mean, what could he say? The story has changed so many times. I don't know.
Well, he's definitely going to need a new interpreter
to get
whatever message across he's going to say. But I would imagine it would be a strong denial on his part.
How does the interpreter have that kind of money, though? That's the part I don't get of the story.
Well, he didn't. The whole argument, and it really is going back and forth. They're kind of doing it to themselves at this point. The Dodgers and Ohtani. I mean, they've gone back and forth on this story two or three times at this point. I mean, the camp initially said Ohtani transferred the funds to cover Mizuhara's debt, and presented Mizuhara for an interview with ESPN last Tuesday, during which Mizuhara laid out the process in detail. The following day, a statement from Burke Brettler, which is a law firm representing Ohtani in the matter, instead said the two-way star, quote, has been the victim of a massive theft. Mizuhara then told
ESPN... Which one is it?
Yeah, exactly. And then Mizuhara starts talking again. He tells ESPN that Ohtani had no knowledge of the debt, and then Ohtani had not transferred the money. So now, who knows what's going on? And hopefully Shohei's going to do his best to clear it all up today.
The story that makes most sense is that he was gambling through the interpreter.
You don't say. You don't say.
I mean, I don't know how you beat that rap.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I don't know.
Nothing else makes sense. Why would you just give a random guy who was your interpreter pay off his debts? That makes zero sense.
100%. The only way you get away with it is if you're the face of Major League Baseball and you're worth $700 million.
Well, it'd be awfully interesting if all of a sudden he's gone, right? I mean, that would be like the biggest scandal in a while.
And then, Major League Baseball doesn't want that. They love this guy. They want him to be the face for years and years to come. So we'll see what he has to say today. That's your sports. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 521. There is growing concern after that Moscow attack that killed more than 130 at a rock concert Friday night that it could happen here. Some of it is because so many people who have come across the U.S. southern border. We don't know who all of them are.
Just a few days ago at the Armed Services Committee, I asked our commanding general in the Middle East about ISIS's capacity to project attacks from Afghanistan. He said that in as little as 6 months, and it turned out to be closer to 6 days, that ISIS from Afghanistan, with little or no warning, could attack Western interests across Asia and Europe. And that's exactly what we've seen happen.
That's Republican Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. He says the next attacks could be against American embassies in Asia or Europe.
It's deeply regrettable that innocent civilians, women, and children were killed in Moscow, but the next attacks could be against an American embassy in Asia or in Europe, or against, say, students traveling to Europe on a school trip for spring break. Again, this is a very dangerous echo of President Biden's failed withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Senator Marco Rubio also warning the U.S. needs to be really vigilant about border security.
There is a trafficking network out there that specializes in moving people. They do it for profit, moving people and migrants around the world, including across our southern border, who have links to ISIS. I think common sense tells you if they run a trafficking network of people, they would most certainly use it to move operatives into the United States.
I mean, all that stuff's really frightening. Speaking of Marco Rubio, by the way, he's apparently on the short list to be Donald Trump's vice presidential candidate. What did you think about that?
I've never talked to Donald Trump. I've never talked to anybody on his team or family or inner circle about vice president. That's a decision he's going to make.
Yeah, but he says he would definitely take it if he was offered that gig. Israel now offering to release between 700 to 800 Palestinian prisoners, including 100 criminals convicted of murder in exchange for 40 hostages in Gaza. This, according to Israeli media outlets this morning. After bashing such an exchange as unrealistic, a few weeks ago, the Jewish state offered up hundreds of incarcerated Palestinians in an effort to free Israeli women, children, elderly, and sick who were taken captive back on October 7th. Several outlets, including Channel 12 in Israel, suggest that at least 700 prisoners could be included in an exchange, including dozens who are serving life sentences for killing Israelis. Despite those concessions, apparently Hamas has said no way. One of their key demands is Israel completely withdraw from the Gaza Strip, which likely would never, ever happen. Hey, today is Judgment Day for former President Trump, the day he fears a $454 million judgment against him will come due. So, hoping to stave off a financial crisis, Trump is racing the clock to try to block the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, from collecting the monetary penalty imposed in that civil fraud case. The Attorney General, who brought the case accusing the former president of fraudulently inflating his net worth, has the power now to freeze many of his bank accounts and begin the long, complicated process of seizing some of his properties. Now, there was rumors she was looking at some of Trump's Westchester properties. We don't know if that's true, but under New York law, James could have enforced the $454 million judgment once it became final last month, but she provided Trump, she says, with a 30-day grace period that expires today. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Now, Trump on social media, on Truth Social, his social media platform, said he had the money to put up for this bond, but we'll have to wait and see as the day goes on. And as you might guess, some Democrats just completely giddy about this. One of them is Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, of course, the New York congresswoman, says the former president should be treated equally under the law in New York in a civil fraud case.
If that seizure of assets would be pursued to any other American, then Donald Trump should be treated the same.
We're talking about an individual who ordered essentially a terrorist attack on the capital of the United States in order to retain power. That is not about being a Republican. It is not about being a Democrat. It's about being an unethical and individual who is subject and prone to criminality.
No doubt you might guess Republicans see it completely different. Either way, it'll be interesting to see what happens a little bit later today. Over the weekend, the president signing a bill to keep the federal government funded for the rest of the fiscal year. The Senate in late night vote on Friday night into Saturday passed this $1.2 trillion package. Here, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer.
It's no small feat to get a package like this done in divided government. These past few months have shown yet again that when bipartisan has room to work, we can get the job done.
Senate approved the legislation by a 74-24 vote. This was about 2 in the morning on Saturday. That has a lot of people ticked off. One of them is Georgia Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. She says House Speaker Mike Johnson caved too easily on this bill, and now she wants him gone.
This is basically a warning, and it's time for us to go through the process, take our time, and find a new Speaker of the House.
Yeah, so she filed a motion to vacate Johnson from the speakership over his support for that bill. Lots of people speaking out, including former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who was only pushed out in October. He has some advice to his successor, Johnson, about how to retain power.
Do not be fearful of a motion to vacate. I do not think they could do it again. I don't think the Democrats will go along with it, too. Focus on the country. Focus on the job you're supposed to do, and actually do it fearlessly.
Johnson says, or rather I should say, McCarthy says he does not believe Johnson will be outed, will be pushed out, because he doesn't think there'll be enough votes to do so. The opening bell, it rings this morning after Friday saw stocks close mixed to end the week. At the closing bell, the Dow fell by 305 points, S&P 500 dropped by 7, the Nasdaq gained 26 points.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noam Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noam
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 533. Good morning. It is Monday, March 25th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Sunshine today, a nice one, high 51. Tonight and overnight, few passing clouds, low 37, and then Tuesday cloudy, high 51. If you're walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are. It's 32 and clear in East Chester up in Westchester County. It's 31 and clear in Lambertville down in New Jersey. And it is 34 and clear outside our Midtown studios. We'll start this half hour right here in Midtown. A bunch of holidays being celebrated on the same day yesterday, which made for a really festive atmosphere here in the city. Of course, it was a Palm Sunday, which marks the start of Holy Week. Parishioners packing St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Very humbling.
Very close to God and really neat to see Cardinal Dolan.
Yeah, people, of course, the faithful from all over the world want to get into St. Pat's, especially on the holiday, to get to see Timothy Cardinal Dolan lead Mass. He did yesterday.
Stick around. We got 7 days to go. We're walking with Jesus, and it's all worth it, because if we persevere in our prayer, if we persevere in Lent, Easter is going to be all the more joyful.
Of course, come Sunday is Easter Sunday. Yesterday was also the Jewish holiday of Purim, where you're obligated to do charity. Here's Rabbi Alexander Rappaport, who runs the Maspia Soup Kitchen, and they served a large Purim feast in Brooklyn yesterday for those in need.
We're obligated to do charity during that day. The way you express joy is by sharing.
It was also kind of cool to see kids and moms getting involved in this. These mom and Marilyn Follis and her mother creating packages for underprivileged Jewish families across the city.
The holiday is about like being grateful for like what you have.
They're giving it out to families with single moms, and we're just really happy to be able to give back to the community on a day where we get so much.
Yeah, nice job done by them. It was also yesterday the celebration of Holi, which is the Hindu festival of colors. I actually ran into one of these celebrations in Jersey City. Maybe you've seen these viral videos where people are throwing different colored powders into the air and everybody's covered in it. And I would have joined in, but I was wearing my favorite hoodie, so I did not.
So festival of Holi is the onset of spring in India. It's the fight of good versus evil.
Yeah, so color is at the center of this event. The Cultural Tree organized the event down at the South Street Seaport yesterday. It calls for these huge parties, which is what they were doing across the city and in Jersey City, which has a huge Hindu population. Everybody's celebrating together.
It's like letting go of all your inhibitions and just starting afresh and enjoying life.
Yeah, so it was kind of cool. You had Palm Sunday, you had Purim, and then you had Holi all on the same day yesterday. WABC News Time 5:38. Let's go up to East Harlem. Tragic night there. Two people killed after being shot. Police say shooting happened Lexington 127th Street. This was about 7:30 last night. 18-year-old Ashley Ballard, shot in the back, was taken to Harlem Hospital where she was pronounced dead. 25-year-old Harry Mendoza, shot in the head, was also pronounced dead. This woman was nearby, knew something was up.
Looking out the window on the phone with my friend, and I heard 4 or 5 shots. And I yelled out, "Somebody shooting." But then I'm still in the window. I didn't see, like, no cops, nobody running. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's nothing. And then that's when I heard the sirens and stuff.
Not clear if the two victims knew each other, but whoever shot these people seemed to do it deliberately. And there may have been some sort of loud confrontation beforehand.
I heard 2 people got shot. I want my community to realize we can make it. We can have love in our community. We don't need no more shootings. We don't need no more crime. We need mental health. We need a lot of mental health counselors to help us deal with our frustrations in our community. That's what this is about.
Yeah, nothing more tragic. 25, 18, so young. No word on a motive for the murders. Police so far have not made any arrests. Mayor Adams was supposed to go to the U.S.-Mexico border over the weekend to meet with people along the border, and all of a sudden, at the last second, he canceled it.
Last Friday, Adams announced his plan to meet with immigration leaders at the southern border to discuss the influx of migrants in New York. In a statement, City Hall says that one of the cities they were set to visit was flagged by the State Department, so the trip is paused for the time being. There are currently more than 60,000 migrants in New York City's care, with over three times that amount entering the city within the last 2 years. I'm Liz Radabali for WABC News.
So the mayor, instead of being at the U.S.-Mexico border, he was set to be there until today. He was here in the city, took part in a rally against hate violence on the Upper West Side. There's been a number of anti-Semitic attacks on the Upper West Side, which is home to one of the largest Jewish communities in New York City. And so he joined this candlelight vigil to help out and show support for the Jewish community there.
Ugliness was not able to spread. If you had a person that lived on a block that had hate, he stayed on that block. Now that block has become the globe, was playing out across the globe. It's something that we need to be concerned about.
540, let's go out to Long Island. A wake held yesterday for a late Center Mauritius man who worked for the NYPD, was one of the many first responders to rush towards Ground Zero on 9/11. It's just heartbreaking, all these stories. All these years later, these people who worked the pile getting cancer. In this case, it was Joseph Stilitano. He was brought home from hospice care about a month ago so he could be surrounded by his family and friends. Fellow officer Stilitano battled terminal cancer. He died, this was late last week. So they had a wake for him yesterday. His three kids say they were blown away by how many people showed up.
Everyone that walked through the doors today, it's just a true sentiment on how he just shared so much love with everybody.
It's just so sad. These first responders still dying from what they did, their heroic work they did on the pile after the 9/11 attacks. A funeral mass going to be held today for Stilitano at 9:30 at St. John the Evangelist Church in Santa Mauritius. While we're out on Long Island, it was a tragic party over the weekend. A family from Bayshore just heartbroken after a party turned to tragedy. Suffolk County Police say 19-year-old Sean Mills was shot and killed during a party outside a home on Ackerson Boulevard. Sean's dad, James, says he doesn't know what led up to the gunfire.
I loved him and I missed him. He was a good kid, and he liked to box and help others. I don't know how these kids are getting these guns. I really don't know.
Yes, so here was the odd part of the party is they said before anybody was allowed in is that there'd be no weapons allowed at this party. Now, if my kid was being sent to a party where they were telling people ahead of time, don't bring weapons, I would say you can't go to that party. But this 17-year-old female also shot at this house party. She's recovering. The Mills family went to the house and, you know, tried to figure out exactly what went on. A social media post about the party said anyone with weapons would be thrown out by security. So they thought their son would be safe.
Nothing really usually goes on around this block, but it was very surprising, especially with the other shootings that's been happening.
Yeah, so police have made no arrests in those shootings. In fact, there was another one on Long Island not too far away. A 13-year-old was shot on Saturday night while in his front yard. He's recovering, thank God, from non-life-threatening injuries, but no arrests in either of those shootings. All right, something much a whole lot more lighter.
Welcome.
Yeah, spring is here. That means it's time for the amusement park at Coney Island to reopen for the season. Both Luna Park, Dino's Wonder Wheel, full swing yesterday. It never does get old, but the Cyclone does. It's actually 97 years old, this like Cyclone roller coaster, and it's still a thrill for a lot of people who show up on the first day to be the first to ride the Cyclone each spring.
The first drop.
I like the views, and I like when you go down the first time because it feels like a stomach drop.
Yeah, there was a traditional blessing of the rides, christening of the Cyclone. They do that with egg creams. And then there were free rides for the first 97 thrill seekers on the Cyclone since it was 97 years old. And so many other rides are for the stomach churning as well.
Listen, our hands are cold, but our hearts are warm. We're welcoming all the people back for another season of fun-filled enjoyment in the park.
You can feel like spring is in the air at Dino's Wonder Wheel on the boardwalk. The sun was shining. I mean, it was cold yesterday, but there was a lot of people out on the boardwalk for the first day of this amusement park, Luna Park, Take Part.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful place right here. The kids have a lot of fun. And yes, we're here for one day, and it's nice. We like it.
Biggest thing that I love about Coney Island is the rides, you know, just going up and down and loop-de-loops and everything. Not to mention that since it's finally warmer, you're not going to get frostbite on the cyclone.
And she's cute. Luna Park, Dino's Wonder Wheel, going to be open on weekends and spring break until Memorial Day, when it's opened every single day, 7 days a week through the summer. All right, 5:45. Let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk, where we find Justin Ellis.
Thank you, Noam Layden. We begin with a checkup on the NCAA Men's Basketball Tournament. Round two saw teams vying for a spot in the Sweet 16, and the action once again did not disappoint after UNC, Arizona, Iowa State, Tennessee, Illinois, Creighton, Gonzaga, and NC State advanced through the second round on Saturday. Yesterday's action saw 4-seed Duke beat 12-seed JMU 93-55. 1-seed Purdue dominate 8-seed Utah State 106-67. 2-seed Marquette best 10-seed Colorado 81-77. 1-seed UConn moved past 9-seed Northwestern. 1-seed Houston survived 9-seed Texas A&M in overtime by a score of 100-95. 6-seed Clemson upset 3-seed Baylor 72-64. 4-seed Alabama advanced past 12-seed Grand Canyon, and 5-seed SDSU eliminate 13-seed Yale 85-57. After a few off days here for the remaining teams in the Dance Sweet 16 action, will hit the ground running coming up this Thursday night. It was a quiet night, I should say, locally on the NBA hardwood last night. We're looking forward to the Knicks and Nets returning to action tonight, both tipping off at 7:30 p.m. The Knicks will welcome in the Detroit Pistons while the Nets are on the road in Toronto against the Raptors. In the NHL, Jack Hughes and Timo Meier each had a goal and an assist. Kaapo Kähkönen made 37 saves in his first shutout of the season. Then the Devils beat the Islanders 4-0 last night in Elmont. Alexander Holtz and Chris Tierney also scored for New Jersey. Kähkönen, acquired at the trade deadline, earned his first win as a member of the Devils. New Jersey captain Nico Hischier left the game late in the second period after colliding with New York's Anders Lee. Lee received a major penalty in a game misconduct. Hischier did return at the start of the third period. Elias Sorokin finished with 26 saves for the Islanders, who lost for the seventh time in eight games. New York is 4 points behind Washington in the race for the second wildcard spot in the Eastern Conference, with 11 games left in the regular season. Off the field in Major League Baseball, Shohei Ohtani plans to speak to the media today for the first time since the illegal gambling and theft allegations involving the Los Angeles Dodgers stars' former interpreter emerged during the team's trip to South Korea last week. The interpreter, Ippei Mizuhata, was fired by the Dodgers last Wednesday in the wake of media inquiries surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation. Major League Baseball announced on Friday afternoon that its Department of Investigations also is formally looking into the matter. Ohtani, however, is expected to continue to play while the investigation unfolds. Consensus here early on is that he didn't really have any knowledge of this, but we will find much, much more.
Whose consensus is that?
I think everybody's is. Everybody's mostly given him the benefit of the doubt.
Why?
At least. Well, because up to this point, his record is, you know, squeaky clean. I mean, not that anybody has many details on his record. To be honest, nobody really even knows who the guy is. I mean, half the world didn't know he was married.
I didn't know he was married.
Exactly. So, and he comes out early this season. He comes out in news that he's married all of a sudden, and he's known this woman for, you know, however long it's been his fiance. Nobody knows anything about this guy. So you slap $700 million on this Japanese, superstar who happens to be really, really good at baseball, but you don't know what kind of guy he is. And, the MLB has painted him as this messiah of sorts. So
can you imagine how they vetted this interpreter who's going to do the press conference today? They did a background check on this guy.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was somebody in-house they gave him. You know, we'll see. But I don't know. I think you got to give Ohtani the benefit of the doubt here. Anytime, you know, a guy is as clean as he is record-wise, and now you're faced with some controversy, you like to give him the benefit of the doubt until something really damning comes out.
Yeah,
so
look,
we'll see.
I hope you're right because I want to see him pitch. So
yeah, and I hope I'm right too. For the sake of the game, to be honest, it would not be a good look for baseball.
No.
So whether or not you like Ohtani, that's your sports gnome. I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
Let's catch you up on some of the big stories of the morning. The cleanup continues from Saturday's drenching 3.5 inches of rain recorded in Central Park. March ending up to be the thirdest wettest one ever, and we're still not at the end of the month just yet. All kinds of moments across the tri-state during the storm. We heard about this tree that crushed a car on East 93rd Street.
Absolutely astonishing. I can't believe it. It seems like the roots had to have been rotted or something.
I hope nobody got, but it seems so. It's scary. It is.
So the good news is just the car was hurt. No humans were. Lots of homeowners spent yesterday, will do so today, cleaning up the mess in their basements, in their homes. Some towns in New Jersey saw 4 inches of rain. Patterson, which has been hit so many times since December with flood waters. The mayor there, Andre Saya, says he can't believe the city is in cleanup mode again.
We have never really seen a year like this. I mean, we're only in March and we've had several storms. And we've had serious situations with flooding in Patterson.
In Lodi, which gets flooded from the Saddle River, roads were swallowed up by water. Several homes significantly damaged. Lots of people lost cars because they didn't get them to higher ground in time.
We lost 2 cars. Every time that it rains, we have to be, on the watch, looking at the windows, so we have to move the cars.
We moved the car to the street because we don't want the car damaged. And they said it give you a ticket.
Well, a ticket's better, I guess, than losing your car. Lodi's mayor waiting on $800,000, he says, in funds from Congress to be able to update storm drainage and infrastructure there, which would probably help with the flooding. Then you had this moment in Yonkers, Bronx River Parkway. This dope decides to get on to the Bronx River Parkway, even though there's huge signs that say don't get on to the Bronx River Parkway. So now firefighters in Yonkers have to go save him. They pull out an inflatable boat to get to him because water's just surrounded his car.
We proceeded into the water. We had two members that were in their wetsuits tied to a rope in case any unexpected event happened. They entered the water, they walked in, made their way over to the victim, safely got him onto the boat, and then proceeded onto the other side of the parkway.
You can imagine how busy they were during the height of this storm, and this guy's just causing them problems that don't need to be caused if he just read the signs. The driver said to be in his 20s. He's okay, thankfully.
We train every day. We have a training schedule when we come to work. We kind of expect that there's going to be some time where we pull some of our tools out and we learn how they work.
Yeah, so they say it's all in a day's work. Tammy Murphy. That's Phil Murphy, the governor of New Jersey's wife. Remember when she jumped into the race for Senate just a couple months ago? Well, now she's out of the race because she just hasn't gotten the support to get that she needs. So here she was making the announcement on Twitter. This was yesterday.
I wanted to say to those around me, most especially Phil and my 4 kids, Josh, Emma, Charlie, and Sam, that it's such a pivotal moment in our history. Their mom stood up and did something. Because our children are watching.
Yeah, so she clearly had the connections to run. Her husband, of course, is the governor of New Jersey. But it seems voters did not appreciate that power would be concentrated in one husband and wife team, right? If she had won come November, her husband still be governor. She'd be senator.
After many busy, invigorating, and yes, challenging months, I am suspending my Senate campaign today. I have been genuine and factual throughout. But it is clear to me that continuing in this race will involve waging a very divisive and negative campaign, which I am not willing to do.
And the person, of course, who's tickled pink about this is Andy Kim. He is the congressman from South Jersey who's the other one who's running for senator now, essentially the only one running for senator on the Democratic side.
The grassroots energy, that is the game changer. I'm grateful for this opportunity right now to continue on.
And it was interesting to hear from voters in New Jersey who did not like the fact that she was in the race.
The absurdity of it all. No experience. What was she going to do for the people, really?
It's probably for the best at this point, knowing that her husband also had power. People probably think It's too much.
Yeah, so that announcement came down late yesterday. And we continue to follow this story out of Moscow. I mean, just horrific. If you weren't following over the weekend on Friday night, five gunmen broke into a concert hall in Moscow where a rock concert was playing with guns, started to shoot up the place. More than 137 are dead. The attack is Russia's deadliest in two decades. Putin, President Putin, says he thinks Ukraine is behind the attack. ISIS has claimed responsibility. Poland, meanwhile, they're on the heightened state of readiness after Russia launched this massive air attack on the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv. This was all over the weekend.
Officials in Poland are demanding an explanation from Moscow after they said a Russian cruise missile aimed at Ukraine entered its territory. The Polish Armed Forces Operational Command claims Russia violated the country's airspace with the missile that flew near a border town for under a minute. In response, Operational Command says on X that both Polish and Allied aircraft had been activated. This after Ukrainian officials said Russia had launched about 20 missiles and at least 7 attack drones targeting the western Ukrainian region of Lviv, near the Polish border. I'm Scott Carr in Washington.
And then, of course, back here in the U.S., you have the reaction to this terror attack. Senator Tim Kaine says the U.S. warned Russia of an imminent terrorist attack in Moscow 2 weeks ago, but Russian authorities mocked us for it.
Vladimir Putin gave a speech on Tuesday discounting the warning, saying we were trying to meddle and create confusion. We also warned Iran a couple months ago about a potential attack by ISIS-K there.
Yeah, the Virginia Democrat who was on Fox News yesterday talking about ISIS-K, they're the ones who took credit for this attack. He says we warned Russia about a potential terror attack from chatter we heard, but he said if something Russia heard about chatter of an attack on the U.S., he said, we would not be given the same warning.
If you want to know the difference between democracies and authoritarians, we will tell nations if we're worried about their civilians. Russia or Iran would never tell us if they had news that there was going to be a terrorist attack in the United States.
I mean, he's 100% correct about that, but just tragic. 137 dead. We'll watch. Four of the five people that they captured apparently have admitted to being involved in the attack, whether it's traced back to Ukraine. There's no suggestion by U.S. intelligence, but Russians say it is.